And we just want to highlight, there are four different events. And so we really hope the saints will remember these four different events in your prayer.
Amen.
And then after you pray yourselves into the triune God, maybe he will touch you to come and also participate. Anyways. The first one is this upcoming Asian American Health Fair. And this will be held in the meeting hall here on May 20th. Anyway, this is for your awareness. Actually, the brothers will have more details in this meeting today. The second one is the Chinese-speaking gospel meeting. And this will be held also here June 3rd. Okay, June 3rd. Then the week following, there will be a Piscataway Street Fair. This will be in the YMCA in Piscataway. And this is will be on June 10th. June 10th on that Saturday. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet our fellow neighbors. And then finally, the English-speaking gospel meeting. This will be here on June 17th. Okay? So we have four events this coming month. We really need the saints, we all together, to pray and enter into this burden.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I think that's all the announcements,
Amen.
Right? I believe we have a financial report.
Yes.
Amen. Financial report for February to April in the past 2 months, because of conference and different other reasons, we didn't have financial report. So this from February to April, 3 months. In these 3 months, our total income is $60,277, and our total expense is $104,111. So we have a deficit of $43,834. And the breakdown of the expense regarding meal, we have $3,065. Everything related to office and kitchen supply is $2,106. Everything related to fellowship unto gospel is $46,823. Conference training and travel, $4,529. Everything related to building, utility and maintenance is $45,674. Furniture and appliance, $1,903. And computer, internet, Zoom is $11. So again, we have a total deficit of $43,834. And year to date, because we have surplus in January, so year to date, our deficit is $20,586. So, since let's remember all the needs, financial needs. It's very important, even it's material, financial realm. But this morning I recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul told us, our God is the one, he bountifully supply us with the seeds. For what? To sow. So he likened our material or financial giving is actually sowing for purpose, is to harvest or to reap the fruit of righteousness. Amen. And this year, I won't say it's still new, it's, right now it's May, but it's still early for us to sow the seeds. We still have many days, and every day we can come before the Lord, and every week, but weekly, we can exercise, receive the seeds from the Lord, and sow to meet God's need, and sow and to reap the fruit of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And next, we will have a Young Working Saints Conference Overflow.
Yes.
So we will have some overflow, some sharing from the Young Working Saints, Young Families Conference several weekends ago. I'm just curious, how many of us went to that time? Okay, I just want to manage my time properly. We really like to give everyone an opportunity to overflow. But maybe I can just open this time to share a particular burden. There's no title. The speaking was based off the recent crystallization study of Nehemiah and Ezra. I would open in this way. In 1 Corinthians 10, we see that the things written in the Old Testament, they all occurred as an example to us, the New Testament believers. And they were written to be an example to us. So we need to take heed to the scripture, especially in the prophetic word. And they were written not just as an example, but were given to us as an admonition. That means it's given to us as an encouragement unto which the end of the ages have come. So, brothers and sisters, as we realize, even through the world situation, that this age is quickly coming to an end, we need to take heed, even the more, these things that have been given to us, so that we would not make the same mistakes that the people of God did in the Old Testament. There was one verse that struck a fiber in my being that I would like to read to you this morning, and I believe this summarizes the burden. You know, it's not just for the working saints, young working saints, young families. It's for the body of Christ. It's for all of us. And this verse is from Ezekiel 22:30. And it starts off this way. And I sought a man. This is God speaking. He is seeking for a man. You consider this. Our God, He is omnipotent. He's the creator of the universe. Why would He be seeking a man? And that is because, brothers and sisters, we need to realize today, actually throughout all the time, all ages, God has a need. I like to repeat. God has a need.
Amen.
This really needs to be so clear to us. Because if we don't realize that God has a need, we will live our lives in a way that is just for ourselves. God has a need. He sought a man among them. What does that mean? That means among all of God's people. You have to look into Ezekiel. This was the context. Among all of God's people, He was seeking for one man. Brothers and sisters, God was just seeking for one man. And it was as if among all of God's people, there was no one. Who will rise up? Who will answer this call? Who will have their ears open to the Lord speaking? And what is this man supposed to do? Who would build the wall and stand upon the breach? Stand in the breach. You got to realize, Ezekiel was written about 100 years before Nehemiah. That means for all this time, God was waiting there, seeking, waiting for just one man. This actually is a prophecy. God was waiting for someone who will rise up to go and build the wall, rebuild the wall, and to stand in the breach. And this verse ends, and I found no one. I found no one. Brothers and sisters, what is your feeling about this?
Oh Lord.
God is looking for one man. And his conclusion is, I found no one. Who will be the Hannahs of this age to pray themselves into God's heart and to realize that there is a dispensational need, and who will even offer their children to enter into the same consecration, to what? To just be a priest among God's people, to be an age turner. Who will be like Isaiah? You know, this morning, oh, I really hope that you hear there is a calling. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Will we be like Isaiah? Lord, here I am. Send me. Who will meet this great need of our God? Okay, so I hope we could really understand this burden, this feeling that God has a need. And I apologize, with a few more minutes, I like to just touch this matter, building the wall and standing in the breach. What does this mean? Standing in the breach, actually, in a very practical way, just means to pray. Amen. We need to persevere and pray. Amen. When God's testimony, his interest is under attack, what do? We pray. We need to pray to stand against all that the enemy is doing. And I don't think you need me to share with all of you how we are being attacked. All the ages, the children, the young people, the college student, the young working saints, the working saints, the older saints, all the saints, we are all being attacked. And so we need to realize we need to stand and to pray.
Amen.
The Lord gave me a verse this morning. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the builded church.
Amen.
You know, when you think about the building of the wall, actually in Nehemiah, it's very clear. This building, it's not like they finished one section and then they went to another. And then they went to another. Actually, this building took place simultaneously. And then when you read into it, actually this building, the ones who built, they were all different, right? They were the priest, they were the descendants of Levi, but then there were the perfumers, there were the working saints, there were families there, there were just the saints. That means the young people, they have a responsibility to build. The college students, you have a responsibility to build. Me, as a brother, I'm raising a family. I have a responsibility to build. The grandparents who are in this room, we all have a responsibility to build the wall.
Amen.
And again, the gates of Hades cannot prevail against the build of the church. And so, actually, in Nehemiah, you see the enemy's strategy. He attacks the wall in one area. And then, you know, what happens is the trumpet blows. And what is supposed to happen is we're all supposed to gather together because the enemy is attacking. Is attacking Jerry. So we all need to what? We need to come together. And what?
Please come to me.
Yeah, right?
Pray for me.
And pray. Brothers and sisters, do you see this? We are in this together. We're building the wall together. If someone is being attacked, we need to go and pray with them. That means, brothers and sisters, you know what this means? That means we need to know one another. Not superficially, right? We need to know one another's situation. Real situation. We need to open up one another. Brothers and sisters, do you have someone to pray with? When things come up, how can you trumpet? How can we make a trumpet sound if there's no one to pray with? We all need to have someone to pray with, whether it is your small group, your companions, your morning revival partner, the ones you coordinate with. We need to pray together. Amen. To stand in the breach, to stand for God's interest in His economy. And so that what? So that the enemy cannot prevail against the build a church. You see, if I have a relationship with these brothers, then we are built up together, right? This is what building means, is to have ones that we can pray with. And so that the enemy cannot prevail against the church. So that's my time. I hope as all the saints share from this conference, we could really listen and open to the Lord speaking to all of us. Because this word is so recalibrating, so healthy, and so crucial for our going on together as the church.
Amen.
Who is going to go next?
Amen, saints. Yeah, I just have a feeling as to amen what Shepherd said. I can't quite say I enjoyed the conference in a way of real enjoyment, but it was very recalibrating, actually very sobering, right? Because these things were written for our admonition, right? Actually, in Romans, it says they're written for our instruction, right? And it's to us to whom the end of ages has come, right? And so I think the brothers shared a lot about the age that we're in, right, the time that we're in, and we need to know, right, this matter of building the wall. At least I was very impressed, right, because in Genesis, there's no wall, right, there's just a garden, but this matter of, you know, in the Old Testament, these two items, there's the temple and then there's the city, right, this is for God's expression and for His dominion, right, this is actually to fulfill His purpose. And but the state of the city was so poor, right? Actually, even if you read Nehemiah, right, I was just so impressed. In Nehemiah 1:3, he said, "The remnant who are left from the captivity there in the province are in an exceedingly bad state and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and I mourned for some days. And I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Right? This is Nehemiah's response, right? But the wall was in an exceedingly bad state, right? Even the opposers, they would say, oh, even a fox could run through the breach, right? There's so many holes, right? And I was just appreciated, you know, we have a lot of revelation, we have maybe a lot of knowledge, right? But how much have we applied it, right? In the very beginning of one of the messages, the brother brought out the example of there was the parable of the house on the foundation of sand or of the or on the rock, right? Because actually the wind, the river, the rain, actually it happens to everyone, right? This is just the condition of human living, right? I think this, you know, this young working saints, working families, and it's just very sobering, right? Even from where I was, you know, first getting married till now, right? There's just, life is just full of things, right? There's just wearing down, right? The enemy's strategy is just to wear down the saints,
right?
It's very subtle and it's very slow. It's just like erosion, right? In the same way, Lord Jesus. And so I just feel like this word is very timely. It's very sobering, right?
Amen.
But we need to have a solid foundation, right? The difference was the foundation upon which the house was built on. And so today in the church life, we need to build this wall. This is a wall personally, but this is also a wall, a corporate wall, right? Because in the New Jerusalem, there's a great and high wall around the city, right? But I just, you know, I think during COVID, I was so exposed. I think I can remember there was a point, I used to never have my phone with me for my morning times. As a rule, you know. And then somehow, there's just, it came in, right?
Right,
and for years, actually, it's like, wow, what is that? That's just the enemy, right? When you look at how, I think it's Tobias, even they entered into the priesthood, right? They're with the children of Israel, they started to marry the foreign wives again, right? to the point that Nehemiah had to speak to them, right? And they had to cleanse themselves from all the people. They even had a room built in the temple for the for this I don't know if he's an Ammonite or a Moabite, right? But for Tobias, he had a room in the temple of God. It's like, wow, do we have our phone when we're having morning revival? I just feel like the enemy has, he just has direct access to us, right? And so there's just a breach in us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The saints, oh, praise the Lord, we can hear such a word. May we be those who are being built a wall, right? Amen, what Shepherd said. This is such a recalibrating word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And may he build a wall corporately and individually in us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, this timely word. So I also enjoyed, like a brother mentioned. So maybe in our concept, we never thought about why the word is so important. But actually, when God bring the people of Israel back to the good land, the first thing, the major thing that God recovered is building up the word. So this show us how the word is so crucial to God's interest and to the house, to God's building, right? And like Alberta mentioned, actually the word has three functions. The first function, the word, serves as a separation. So right now we are in the room, right? We have four words, and the word separates us. What from outside, coming to the inside. So another thing, the word function is an expression. So Alberta mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, it says, the one sitting on the throne looks like a jasper. And in Revelation 21st, we see the world actually is made of jasper. So this shows us, actually the world is an expression of God.
Right.
So how can we express God? So actually, that's why God wants to recover the world. And also, the world is also a protection. So it protects God's interest. And I was so touched, our brother mentioned Joseph's example in Genesis 37. So he said, when we build up the wall, actually we need to get ready to be, there will be difficulties because the enemy is attacking the wall. We see when Joseph, he was at the master's house, and the evil woman grabbed his garment and went to lie with Joseph. But actually Joseph just fled, and he refused to lie with a woman. But the evil woman, he grabbed Joseph's garment and framed him. So with, and the brother mentioned, for the walking sense, even we want to leave God, express God, we need to face some attacks. But we see when Joseph is standing with God and he expressed God, the first thing, God didn't save him. It seems God didn't save him, he was put into prison. But after a few years, God enthroned him. And actually, he became the sustainer of life. Oh, Lord Jesus. So I feel like, especially for our young working sons, so we needed to have this word in our workplace, our brother mentioned. So for certain things, the Gentiles, they can say, we can say as believers. And for certain things, the Gentiles, they can watch and they can participate. But as working sense, we cannot. We have this word. We have the expression. And lastly, our brother mentioned 4 points I was really want to share with you. He mentioned 4 words. And the first is the word. So how can we have this protection? How can we build up this word? The first thing is we have the word of God in us.
Right.
So the word protects us. And also, we need the body, like our brother mentioned. We have companions. We're not building up the word alone. Actually, we need to pray with our brothers and sisters. We need to have spiritual companions. So this is the second point. And the third point is the spirit. We can always turn to our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Turn
Amen.
To our spirit.
Amen.
And the last point
Amen.
Is our heart. Our brother mentioned we need to guard our heart.
Amen.
And he put up a verse, is Deuteronomy 4:9. He said, but be careful and guard your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and did not depart from your heart all the days of your life. Rather, make them known to your children and to your grandchildren. So we need to guard our heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, may the Lord bless us.
Amen.
May we have protection, expression, and also separation among us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'll give it to my wife.
That's when I give the chance to my husband, the most part of. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Usually after a conference is over, I usually review the conference notes and talk about it and overflow it with other sisters. And for this conference, to be honest, I wasn't familiar with this story of Nehemiah. But my sister also attended this conference, and a few days after it was over, we called on the phone together, and we were overflowing and sharing our enjoyment with each other. And she was helping me give a crash course on Nehemiah, and she asked me, "Do you know how long it took the people to build the wall?" And I took a guess, and I said, "I don't know, 10 years. And then she said, "No, it only took 52 days.
Yes.
And I didn't believe her, so I opened my Bible, and I found in Nehemiah 6:15 that
yes.
It really Amen. Said that it was built in just 52 days.
Yes.
So I was so shocked, and I thought, wait, it only took 52 days to build a wall, and God waited for 100 years for someone to build a wall. So going back to the key verse for this conference, Ezekiel 22:30, God just wants a group of people with a loving heart to seek him. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter how long, he just wants us to seek him.
Amen.
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 I also appreciated the reference in 1 Corinthians, realizing that these things happened to the children of Israel as an example to us and for our admonition, which means for our warning. And one thing that stuck out to me was seeing that once the rebuilding of the temple first and then the wall of the city was reestablished, this actually opened the way for the Lord's first coming. And so we can apply that to ourselves today. Actually, the Lord is also seeking this rebuilding of his expression, of his testimony, and once he has this, then it would open the way for him to return. And there was the verse that everyone has already mentioned. The Lord is seeking some who would build the wall and stand in the breach. And I looked up the word breach afterwards. Breach means there's something broken in the wall. There's a hole that needs to be plugged up. And actually, many times, when you talk about a breach, it's with regards to warfare. And so this breach, there's been breaches in the wall, and the wall is for the protection of the city. And so we need to be those. And so I appreciated two things. One, personally, he mentioned sometimes, you know, you might spend some time with the Lord in the morning. Maybe you say, "Yes, I woke up this morning. I enjoyed the Lord. I had a time." And then as soon as you step out of wherever you're enjoying the Lord, something happens, whether it's a spouse, a child, maybe something from your phone, and all of your enjoyment just leaks away. And so the brother was saying, this means that the wall within us has not been built up enough. There needs to be a higher wall, more protection that would protect, you know, what the Lord has put into us day by day.
Right.
And then the other thing that was mentioned, he was sharing actually from one of the first messages that were given in New York City in the Manhattan Hall. The two brothers went there and they gave an overview of Genesis 1, Genesis 2, 3, and 4 in this way. Genesis 1 shows us God's eternal purpose, right? And then Genesis 2 shows us how that's carried out. And then there are two questions. In Genesis 3, one question is, "Where are you?" And then the fourth in Genesis chapter 4, it says, "Where is your brother?" And so it's not just where we are with, are we enjoying the Lord day by day? Actually, the Lord also asked Cain, "Where is your brother?"
Right.
And so I just appreciated seeing we need to be those who stand in the breach. And something that was brought out is each one of us has a certain experience with the Lord. And maybe the Lord allowed certain things to happen to you because you can only you can stand in that breach. in the wall, right? You have passed through, we each have passed through certain experiences, and the Lord has given something to us, not just for us, but actually so that we can stand in the breach. That means we can plug up that broken down part in the wall.
Amen.
So that no one else would pass through that way. They wouldn't
Amen.
Exit the city. And there was, anyways, we can stand in the breach of the wall by praying.
Amen.
And as we pray and we petition, in my Bible reading recently, I'm just so impressed by the example of our brother Paul. He's always saying, unceasingly making mention of you in my prayers.
Amen.
Right? And so I'm just learning and practicing, you know, after I enjoy the Lord. Okay, Lord, is there anyone that you would like me to pray for? And the Lord puts somebody on my heart. And sometimes I don't know their situation, but I can make mention of their name. And the Lord knows. So as we pray for one another, there's a way for this wall to be built up together.
Amen.
I think this again was a very, very sweet and very recalibrating word. And I think one of the themes that I was impressed with was maybe exposed first. I realized I have a very selfish church life, or like the messages that I enjoy, or the points that I'm highlighting, even the ones that I see here, are very personal and very individual in my pursuit of the Lord. But I think there's this burden that we see of the Lord, that he's burdened not just for individual ones, but for the church life, and for our different brothers and sisters. So there is, I think it's the theme started in the first message, and then this kind of continued on. So our brother brought out Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this is a very small point, but this is something I have been musing on. So Genesis 1 shows God's purpose. So we see image and dominion in Genesis 1. Then Genesis 2, we see the tree of life, and that's God's economy. And Genesis 3 is where are you? And I had always kind of stopped right there, and oh, we see God's purpose, we see God's economy, and we kind of see where we are in relation to the Lord. But Genesis 4, the question is, where is your brother? I think that was just one of the first times that I had realized, oh, like from the very beginning, the Lord is, again, not just after the individual and like the question to you personally, but he's also looking out, like, where is your brother? And so
right.
This is the charge, the reason you're here is to find your brothers. And so kind of with that, I think the theme that we see with Nehemiah is one who mourned over not just his own situation, because I think humanly speaking, he was probably doing pretty well for himself to be so close to the king, having a job, etc. But when he heard of the situation, he mourned and he cried. And Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn. And so we cannot be so preoccupied that we only care about our own enjoyment and our own little service. Our mourning is to join him. And then this mourning means that we need a responsive prayer. And I think just throughout this time, getting to see this picture of building the temple and building the wall is allowing me to realize that the Lord is after something deeper than my own personal enjoyment, but something of the body life, something of not just a wall for ourselves, but in a corporate way.
Amen.
Well, oh, is this on? Hi. I'd like to thank Brother Joe for putting the spike in my hand. Because I was not really willing to share, but is this too loud?
A little lower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's always really good to be encouraged to share by the other members of the body. And just like everybody, just to echo what's already been said, I was also appreciating the question, where is your brother?
Yeah.
And I think I shared this at the conference too, but I was just so touched by that question. When in Genesis we see, you know, after Cain kills Abel, well, I'm just going really dark already, but, you know, he kills Abel, and then, you know, Cain responds, am I my brother's keeper? And actually, ever since the conference, I've been appreciating the fact that, yes, I am my brother's keeper. I think there's so many times when those around us will definitely, I think I'm a pretty patient person, which is probably in and of itself a failure. But I think I'm a pretty patient person, but there's so many times when just interacting with a brother or interacting with someone, I'm just so short. and I just want to spiritually kill them. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I cannot deal with you right now. But we are our brother's keepers. And I was appreciating what everyone else said about the gap in the wall, right, the breach. We have to stand in the breach. And what Brother Ricky shared was that sometimes you're the only person who can stand the breach for someone else. Sometimes I like to think, oh, you know, I'm still pretty young. I haven't really gone through that many experiences, so I'm sure somebody else can take care of it. You know, somebody else can minister this person a little better, or somebody else knows the right things to say. I mean, I can't say that I read my Bible every single day. I miss some days. I can't say that I'm so mature. So who am I to shepherd these others? But Brother Ricky was very clear. No, sometimes you're the only person who has the ground. Sometimes you're the only person this person feels comfortable with. And so even though I want to leave it to somebody else, sometimes we're the only one. Human relationships are so weird, right? Sometimes you're the only person. You don't even know why. You're the only person that someone will trust or will open up to or whatever.
Yeah.
And when that is your situation, all you can do is you can take on the charge and you can stand the breach. And so in that way, I was appreciating, in one hand, right, when the Lord says, who will stand in this breach? You know, he's looking for someone who will do it, right? But on the other hand, we all have to take this as a call of action as Christians. That we sometimes are the only one who can fulfill this particular person's need.
Amen.
Or satisfy this particular person's want or whatever. And so I was appreciating, I am my brother's keeper. Every single one of us has a responsibility to those around us, whether we like it or not. And this should be on our heart.
Amen.
That we wouldn't want to just kill them, and that, you know, the Lord would ask us, why is their blood running on the soil? But that we would care for them and minister to them. And so I guess I just, like everybody else, I appreciate, yes, I am my brother's keeper. And every single day since this conference, I've repeated that to myself. In every single little interaction I have of another believer, I say, yes, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper.
Right.
And I will never let myself forget that. And that was just, amen. That's what I enjoyed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Did you go?
I did not.
Oh, my bad.
Amen.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Praise the Lord. Oh, okay. Yeah, so the matter of the building the wall, right? I feel like what I was most impressed about is actually really what everyone just echoed right now. You know, the matter of how, like, when we're building a wall and there's sometimes breaches, right? And sometimes you're the only one who can fill that breach. I think each and every one of us, like, God has sovereignly, you know, arranged situations in our lives so that maybe sometimes we're the only ones qualified to fill that breach for a particular one. And, you know, you may sometimes think, like, this other more qualified brother, or if you're a sister, it'd be like, this other more qualified sister can fill that breach for that one. But no, sometimes you are the only one who can fill that breach.
Amen.
Because God has sovereignly arranged for you to be the only qualified one. And the only one sometimes just taking heed even to his calling regarding this one. And that's what I really was most impressed about. Amen.
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 I just wanted to share that although it sounds, you know, like, oh, all the suffering and all the things that was happening with the wall and how this is a warning for us and admonition for us, I do want to say that, praise the Lord, that we have the Word.
Amen.
And that the Word has been expounded to us. And we're so privileged to be in a time where we can really have access to the Bible, have access directly to God, and enjoy Him in our time with Him. If we consider, like, many centuries before, you know, people were even prohibited from having such a truth before their eyes.
Amen.
But now we're so privileged to have this. So I'm very thankful that we really enter into who Nehemiah was and how he can be such a pattern for us.
Amen.
So I wanted to share a little bit on Nehemiah 1-4, which was already mentioned before, when he receives, right, the report of the condition of the children of Israel.
Amen.
And so we see the condition of Jerusalem. And there was a sentence that I was impressed with in the verse. It says that when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and I mourned for some days, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So, like somebody mentioned earlier, we often focus, you know, on like, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, and we pray, read it. But one thing that popped in my head when Brother Ricky mentioned is like, but have you ever heard of blessed are those who mourn? Have you thought about mourning? And so we see this example in Nehemiah. I don't know if I would have done the same thing if somebody comes and says, I like the whole place is on fire. I'd be like, grab your things, let's go. Like, I would make such a mess, start calling people, telling them what happened, and really just go crazy, right? But we see here that Jeremiah was one who spent time with the Lord, not just personally, but also in the Word. So when he heard these things, we see clear here that he sat down. He had wisdom in him. Well, not only did he do that, but when he sat down, he mourned. Wow. He cried. And then later we see that he got up. He went to the king, right? And the king realized that there was something wrong within his heart. But he wasn't reactive or in any way, you know, trying to accelerate things. But he was one who really considered before God. So I was just very touched by him, you know, like, I want to be one who can have such a pattern instilled in my being, one who, you know, takes time to really enjoy the Lord, abide in his word, as one of the four words that Brother Ricky mentioned at the end. In order to be able to build the wall, we need to spend much time in the word and in the Lord. And the footnote for mourning was very interesting. It says, the entire situation of the world is negative towards God's economy.
Right.
Satan, sin, self, darkness, and worldliness predominate among all people on earth. God's glory is insulted. Christ is rejected. The Holy Spirit is frustrated. The church is desolate. Self is corrupt. And the whole world is evil. God wants us to mourn over such a
Amen.
Situation.
Amen.
I appreciated this footnote a lot because we all know that our heart is very sticky. And in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the issues of life. So if we haven't mourned this world situation, then we are still, you know, like tumbling here and there. But if we really consider what mourning is before the Lord and say, Lord, my heart is sticky. Lord, my family, I love my family more over than you. I love my work more over than you. I love my education more over than you. I love my children even more over than you. Sometimes we think that even loving all of these things and loving the Lord, we're doing good. But actually, if we really consider loving anything else other than God, it's actually not really for the Lord. So we need to be reminded that in all of these things, there should be a balance. And for this, we should be ones who mourn this world so that the Lord can come in, can really saturate our being, that we can really spend time with him and in the word, that we will be those who are fit and useful to build the wall.
Amen.
And I appreciate in Nehemiah 3:1, where at the beginning of the building of the wall, there was two gates that were built. The first one was the sheep gate, and the second one was the fish gate. So this means that the shepherding comes first, and then the gospel comes second.
Amen.
So in our building of the wall, as Mini was sharing, it's not just selfish and individualistic, but we see that Nehemiah having it good, he cared, right, for all the children of Israel in their pitiful situation. In the same way, when we are building the wall, shepherding should come first. And like one of the brothers also mentioned, you could be that person that can feel the breach in somebody else's wall.
Amen.
So this is not just an individual matter, but it's a corporate matter. So we're never too young and we're never too old to start shepherding, to start building the wall in other people, to be encouraged that we will be strong foundation and that this wall will not be one that is easily broken by today's tide of age. So may we be encouraged that we're not in this alone, but we are members of the body. So, you know, older saints, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your experience. The younger ones, we need your cheerfulness, your genuineness. The middle-aged ones, you know, we need, like, your experience in life, your practical abilities. You are the backbone of the church. But we cannot go on if we're not together. And we see that we go in as a family. So everything is by a unit and everything is corporate. So may we be those who spend time in the Lord and really just shepherd one another. That we can build this wall and, you know, be separated from this age. Be holy and just for the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Scott and I were there for Saturday, so we were there for the first, only for the Saturday morning message and then the Saturday afternoon message. But I'd like to follow something that Addie shared, which was in order to build a wall, we need to know the word. Romans 15:4, which is actually a sister verse to the verse shared in 1 Corinthians 10, it actually says, for the things that were written previously were written for our instruction, in order that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope.
Amen.
And I know the saints were sharing, actually, right? Like, I think we all can testify in our daily life, we're just in a battle. From the moment that we wake up to the moment that we put our head,
right.
Even when we put our head on our pillow, we're, you know, there's still some battles going on. But actually, and the brother shared, actually, the thing that we need in the Christian life, one of the things we need the most in the Christian life is endurance.
Amen.
Because we're just fighting. There's a fight all the time. And this endurance comes through the word.
Amen.
And the encouragement and the hope comes through the word.
Amen.
And so I was just appreciating, actually, to be those who are building the wall. We have the word. And then our brother also spent some time in the afternoon sharing about who is this spirit that is in our spirit. He brought out in the verses, actually in Zechariah, we see he has the seven eyes. He is the seven lamps. There is the seven eyes on the stone, the seven eyes on the lamp. This one is the sevenfold intensified spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
So actually, it's not a small thing every day. He shared this verse. I was so encouraged. The verse was Zechariah 4:10, and don't despise the day of small things.
Amen.
So, you know, there's actually so many small things in our daily life when the Lord is speaking to us all the time. And he said one thing, when you say amen to the Spirit, actually that is the rhema word speaking to us, there is more wall. There is more wall in our marriage. There is more wall in our children. There is more wall in the church life. So praise the Lord. I feel like there's hope here. We have the word. We have the Spirit. And in our daily life, the Lord can have a way to build a wall, little by little, no matter where we are. I mean, I'm like a PhD student with, like, a kid, you know? I feel like there's such restriction here. But, you know, in my experience, I can experience the Lord to build a wall.
Amen.
In the day of many, many small things.
Amen.
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 So the morning when I on the trip to the meeting, I just opened the LSN and then I heard Brother Mark release a message regarding the Exodus that the rock becoming a serpent. And then in the meeting in that night, Brother Ricky also mentioned, I feel that is really very personal speaking and very real. It said the rod signifying what we rely upon. And when God called Moses, Moses had that rod he relied upon. And his rod was his support. And he may use that rod to hurting the flock during those days. And God said to Moses concerning the rod, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And I was very touched before there, the serpent was there, but before Moses cast it down to the ground, it's not exposed. And brother mentioned everything you rely upon, your career, your job, your brother, your husband or your wife, or your education, anything you rely upon that has your serpent, the serpent that want to usurp the people that God chose for his eternal purpose.
Amen.
So, and then God asked Moses to cast it down, not throw it away. So we need to hold the rod from its tail. We need to do it differently with the worldly people. The worldly people do these things for themselves. we are here, we are for the purpose of God. And I'm very touched, Ezekiel brother also mentioned, 22:30, the Lord said, and I saw the man among them who built up a wall and stand in the breach before me for the sake of the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. But and even after the first return, the people built the wall, but it just stopped. And then in Haggai, the Lord said, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel up houses with this house lies waste? But praise the Lord, Lord sent Nehemiah, who is the comfort of the Lord.
Amen.
So that afternoon, the Lord just come back for his first return. And now it's a similar situation. We're just right before the Lord's second return. Mm-hmm. If we just do everything, our daily living, our life, our job, our just as a worthy people, the Lord has no way to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is seeking for one. But the Lord in the Ezekiel, he found no one. But now we are here. We really need to take the burden, like Ezekiel, become the comforter of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we are here. Lord Jesus, help us to exercise our heart to love you. Help us to love you. Help us to have faith in you. Oh, Lord, we are here. We are here for a comeback. In our daily living, every day is a battle. And Lord, may you win. Amen.
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 Yeah, this is a book room announcement. Yeah, yes. Book room have two announcements. The first one is the standing order for the morning revival book. The current cycle already ended. We used to have eight books. The new cycle will start from 2 weeks later. It will be nine books, and the price is $45. Yeah, because we need to reserve the book, otherwise, the book, sometimes the LSM will not print the book enough. So this is the first one, the $45 for nine books, the new 2023 cycle. The second, addition to this one is, basically, we will not order too many extra books, if we have an extra, then basically on the top of the shelf. So we really encourage sense if we want the more right book, had better have a subscription. The books will put in the shelf if you subscribe, and those are reserved for the subscribers. So please. Don't take, if you are not a subscriber, don't take the book in the shelf. The for sale is on the top of the shelf. The third one is, for payment, you can pay by check, by cash, or right now we also have a Zelle account. Please contact Book Room Serving One if you have an unpaid subscriptions in the past, to pay. Then the second one is the great news. It's a spiritual book reading program. Yeah, in order to encourage saints to pursue the Lord's word, the Book Room provide a word program of the spiritual books. So once you finish reading a spiritual book, please notify Book Room. Book Room will keep the record, and when you reach different level, Book Room has prepared different award. That means if you read more, you can get more award. This is specifically for the spiritual book. So let me take some example. So we have a gift and the books. Some saints want the Bible, right? So as long as you read several books, reach the label, then you can get a Bible and you can give it to a gospel friend. As for some small group may pursue the same books, for example, like Christ as a Reality, yeah, it's a good book. Then basically the small group sense can see, oh, if we reach that label, then everyone can get that the book. Then they can study together, pursue together. So so we really encourage the sense to have more reading. So how we do this one is from today onwards. After reading a book, please email to book room, include your name, book name, and the finish date, and the paragraph of a reading experience. So if you don't have an electronic, so please have a handwriting pass to book room serving one. Then later on we can share it in the church newsletter, or we can post it in a bulletin. Later on, book room will have a bulletin, and we can recommend all other saints if it's a good book to read together. So basically, this is a new program to read the spiritual book, and we sincerely hope we have a good reading atmosphere. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
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 What is the email of the book room?
Oh, and all the information is in the newsletter. It's bookroom.piscataway@gmail.com.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. There are questions.
If you read a life study, does that count like the book?
Yes.
Yes.
It counts. The morning Bible. Yeah, because everyone is a person. Yeah.
Everything counts.
Oh.
As long as you read, everything counts.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we really have a very long schedule, but I'll switch gear. That when Sister Addie shared in the message, there are two gates, right?
Yeah.
The first gate is sheep gate. That's for shepherding. We spend a good portion of today talking about shepherding. Now the second gate is fish gate.
Amen.
Let's talk about gospel.
Amen.
So amen. Praise the Lord. I think. To start the message, to start my sharing, actually, I want to, on Friday, Brother Liu Sen sent out three messages, actually one message to three different groups. That message reads or translates into the WHO, or the World Health Organization, officially announced the end of the pandemic.
Right.
I'm looking at the message, I was like, okay. On one hand, in our practical experience, I thought it's all over a long time ago. But on the other hand, wow, this is actually a new starting point, actually, for the world.
Amen.
And so thinking about this, then a verse came to me, actually. It's the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, proclaim the word in the season or out of the season.
Amen.
So maybe we can say in our weaknesses, in the past 3 years, we can say, oh, maybe that's kind of out of season. We're restrained. We cannot really go out and reach people. We cannot invite people to our homes. But how about now, saints?
Amen.
Is it still out of season? Or we are actually in the season?
Amen.
Amen.
My thinking is, no, yeah, we are in the season. We're in the season every single day, saints.
Amen.
Previously, I was comparing, I was thinking, before the pandemic, do you know how, on an average, a year, how many gospel friends we were able to save? Can you give a wild guess?
20.
I think it was around 40, all right? I think before the pandemic, our goal is always like 45, 15. And then during the 3 years, do you know how many gospel friends we saved? Another guess? It's about 10. 10 to 15. So I'm not here trying to give you guys the KPI for Christian. No, that's not the purpose. But I'm thinking the burden is that as a normal Christian, as a living in a normal Christian life, we really need to go out and preach gospel.
Yeah.
Yes, in the past 3 years, we are limited in many ways. But now, I think the off season, the out season is over. Now we are really in the season. So actually, I really appreciate, I have a short testimony for our brother, Jiawei. Actually, he was here. So our brother just recently moved to New Jersey about the end of last year. And then our brother started a job about around December. You know what? Ever since our brother started a job, every Wednesday, Thursday, he would text me, "Hey, brother, I invited one of my colleagues. Hey, brother, I invited two of my colleagues going to come in today. Oh, brother, this week I have three colleagues." So on one hand, I'm really happy that we have gospel friends coming over to our small group meetings. But guess what? What's even encouraging is that our brother is living the gospel living. He is thinking about inviting people to the meetings. Isn't that what we used to do before the pandemic?
Yes.
I also remember, where is Sister Victoria? Is she here? She's not. Yeah, it's fine. No, when Sister Victoria was studying at King University, right? She just keep inviting her classmates. Every Friday, we drive to Union and pick them up. And after the gospel meeting, 10, 11 o'clock, we drove them back. It was very tiring, to be honest. But those are the days we really have a normal Christian life. We just go out and preach the gospel. So this leads me to another word, actually. I think it's from Brother Peter Yu. He used to say, 吃饭经纶啊. In English, I don't know what's the good translation, like the economy of meal, or what it really means is like we just invite people over.
Amen.
We open our homes, we open our kitchen, we open our fridge, we invite them over, and then we preach gospel. That was the normal Christian life. That was the normal gospel preaching life, right? So I don't hope that brothers, sisters, that you think, oh, during the announcement there are four gospel events. Maybe Brother Tan come here as usual, give another blowing a trumpet for another round of gospel activities. No, on one hand, those are very important, brothers and sisters. I hope that we can all have a portion in those gospel meetings and events. But on the other hand, I think that the burden really is, brothers and sisters, let's resume our gospel, normal Christian life.
Amen.
Let's resume our normal gospel preaching life.
Amen.
Invite friends over. Have them to our house. Have a meal with them.
Amen.
And talk about God. And talk about the gospel. Amen. So I think my time is really limited. I'll conclude my sharing here. I think Brother Vitas will follow on gospel. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We can have a new start.
Amen.
Amen. I really appreciated what Tang brought out. I think our fellowship this morning is not to stir anyone up in the natural sense, right? Not to just have some kind of outward activities for the gospel. But my prayer is that we could really touch the burden of the gospel,
amen,
right? And all of us would receive this burden and carry it out. Earlier this week, I was brought to Acts chapter 1, when the Lord speaks to the disciples, and he tells them that that they will be his witnesses, right? And to both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
You know, when the Lord spoke that verse, consider the situation of the disciples, right? They were there praying. The Lord had revealed himself, revealed his intention to them. And they had saw many things. And then so the Lord could say that they would be his witnesses, right? A witness is one who saw something, and they can report and they can testify to what they saw. And so the disciples, they saw God manifested in the flesh. They saw the incarnation of God, right? And they saw they testified to the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ. I think what they were filled with and what they were occupied with at that time was just simply Christ, right? They weren't moving in an outward way, but they had a real burden. They were filled with the Lord, and they had to speak the things that they saw. And so I think in the same way, although we're having these events, our fellowship, our feeling is that all the saints would enter into a gospel living. Amen. And will touch the Lord as the burden of the gospel. Amen. Right? The Lord will fill us with himself so that we can't help but speak him, right? In our personal time, when we spend the Lord would reveal himself to us. And then we would go out, right? And tell others of this Christ that we're enjoying. This Christ that we're beholding, that we're spending time with. I think Tang brought out the pandemic. In a sense, I felt like during the pandemic, it's a matter of preaching the gospel. It was really something that we took a step back in, right? And in a sense, I fell asleep. This is my own experience in this matter of preaching the gospel, contacting people, and ministering Christ to the saints. But this week, and some of the brothers in our fellowship, we touched this verse in Ephesians 5. It says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
Amen.
Saints, we need to arise from the dead. Amen. Whatever death situation we are in, the Lord says, awake.
Amen.
Get out of it. Amen. Christ will shine on you.
Amen.
Right? If we go to the Lord will shine on us. Amen. He will infuse us with the burden for the gospel.
Amen.
I think in the interest of time, really my prayer is that, firstly, we would go to the Lord. You know, although, you know, the restrictions have been lifted, right? The pandemic is over, where we have all these activities. First, we need to go to the Lord.
Amen.
Go to the Lord to receive his shining. We would be filled with the Lord. And then after that, we would go out, right? We would go out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Who are we going to? In Acts 1:8, the verse says, both in Jerusalem. We all need to consider what and who are in our Jerusalem. That's our neighbors, anyone near us. We should be praying for. We should go to the Lord and present them to him so that he would give us a burden for them to go visit some, invite them to our home, to speak the word of God to them.
Amen.
And so my feeling is that there's many around us. We should start from our Jerusalem. As the Lord indicated, start from Jerusalem, start from in, and then go out, right? So there's many contacts, many friends, many warm doors that we have. We need to be praying for these ones, bringing them to the Lord, and speaking the gospel to them. I think that's just my feeling this morning. Firstly, go to the Lord, receive his shining. Right, receive the burden from the Lord. And then secondly, we would go out. I'll just end off by reading these dates again. So we'll have many opportunities, as the brothers mentioned. May 20th is the health fair. June 3rd is the Chinese-speaking gospel meeting.
Amen.
June 10th is the Piscataway street fair.
Yes.
And June 17th is the English-speaking gospel meeting.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we can preach the gospel.
Amen.
This responsibility to preach the gospel is on every member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
May we receive this burden from the Lord, and also pray that the gospel would be preached.
Amen.
We can remember all these events, all these activities that we're having, but may the Lord give us a burden to have a gospel living.
Amen.
I'll stop.
Brother and sister, do you have an idea where this Asian Health Day event will be occurring? Here or there? Do you have a clue?
Yes.
It's here, right? Now, the second question, what about the Piscataway Street Fair?
West. West.
Piscataway Street Fair, right?
West.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I add some? I'm going to admit, John 4, the woman at the well. So one thing the brothers didn't mention was we should be like the woman at the well, full of joy. She didn't go out, you know, like consciously make a decision, okay, I got to do this and that and make a list. No, she just was, the Lord said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. So we need to just say, look, we need to follow the message this week to be so that we're full of air. We're just breathing Christians.
Amen.
And this means that we're full of joy. She didn't make a plan. She just ran into the village. She was full of the living water. She was full of the air. She was full of joy. She was happy. And she ran into the village.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for this morning's gathering, saints. And it did. The Lord speak to us.
Yes.
I will start with two questions. Do you have a walk? Do we have a walk? War is for separation and protection. Protection came from the separation. In the book of Nehemiah, when he heard the bad news in the father's land, yes, he mourned. And the first thing when he got back to the father's land, do you know what he did? In order to build a wall, he went to check what happened to the wall. He investigated what part of the wall was broken in order for us to build. We must know what part of the wall was broken. Yes, today, Satan is attacking us individually and corporately from every angle. That's why there's a need for building up that wall. And I ask again, do you have a wall? Where is that wall to protect you in your personal living? If you don't have that wall, then Satan is pretty much overtaking your entire living.
Right.
Are you living in a sanctified living, saints? Do you know why we have to live in a sanctified living? Sanctified living is for separation. When you and I don't have that sanctified living, you don't have that wall. Personally, and how about family? Satan will attack our children. Whose responsibility to build that wall for the children? Parents. But if parents don't have that kind of consciousness, how can that protection happen? I really pray this morning the Lord will speak all of us.
Amen.
Individually. Are we or are you, me, living in the sanctified living?
Amen.
No one knows what kind of living in your living and my living. Nobody knows. Remember, God's watching. Angel is watching. Satan is watching, and even demon is watching. And all the attack from the Satan and demons. When they see the crack, they are going to attack. They attack individually, they attack even our marriage life. Be careful, saints. Satan can attack our marriage life. Husband and wife, we must pray. Fight for this attacking.
Right.
When the marriage was attacked, the ultimate goal that Satan tried to do is destroy the family.
Right.
Be aware. And then what? Why we need to preach the gospel? For the separation and protection. Why church need to preach the gospel? So we can separate it.
Amen.
Do you know the difference between us and unbeliever? Because we preach the gospel. Not for the number, just for the sake of protection.
Amen.
Yes, everywhere has got impacted by the pandemic. And yes, but I will ask, have you lost your desire preaching the gospel? Have you? If we lose the desire of preaching the gospel, Satan already tear down the wall. So I'm glad this morning the brother come up with these two burdens. Enter into the word, and then let's preach the gospel. Pick up the burden, saints, for yourself. And pick up the burden for your family.
Amen.
And pick up the burden as the church so we can be protected.
Amen.
Again, war is for separation and protection.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, you continue bless your church, Peace Galloway.
Amen.
Oh, we have a last goal of to build up the wall.
Amen.
Not only build up the temple, Amen. We also have the second generation to build up the wall.
Amen.
Thank you, bless the church in the Piscataway.
Amen.
We have so many the witnesses.
Right.
Oh, today we just like a surrounding crowd.
Amen.
Make a testimony. Bless this second generation.
Amen.
They want to stand up and have a new beginning.
Amen.
They want to continue shepherding the people. They will also preach the gospel.
Amen.
You bless your church.
Right.
The funerary, the house of the glory,
Amen.
Will greater than the old one.
Amen.
May we be sanctified, Lord.
Amen.
And we preach the gospel for sanctification.
Right.
For protecting what you care for.
Amen.
Right.
Amen,
Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you for speaking to us.
Amen.
Lord, may this word penetrate us.
Amen.
Oh, may this word become our daily living.
Amen.
Lord, build up the wall here in the church in Piscataway.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to preach the gospel to build up this wall.
Amen.
Lord, make us ones who take heed to your calling.
Amen.
Lord, that we would be ones who fill up the breaches.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Lord, we are here to answer your call.
Amen.
Oh, to build up the wall.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we give our church life to you.
Amen.
Oh, give all the thanks to you.
Amen.
That we all enter into the reading of the ministry books.
Amen.
Oh, and also to live our gospel preaching life.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, give us awareness. We need to build the wall.
Amen.
For the church, especially for the second generation.
Amen.
So for all, remember all the parents.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we need to build up the wall.
Amen.
In our daily living.
Amen.
Oh, also, we need to enter into the word.
Amen.
Like a gospel preaching life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to grant sufficient grace to us.
Amen.
So your hand will follow your speaking.
Amen.
Help us to receive your speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Give us mercy and strength.
Amen.
To pray for all these burdens.
Amen.
Exceedingly pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Before we end the meeting, there's a final announcement. This is about our first gospel opportunity on May 20th. So, yeah, I think we all know. On May 20th, we had it last year. We opened the parking lot in the meeting hall for the Asian American Health Fair to be here, to be held here. And we also have a booth to promote our church life and to meet many people. So in this time, actually, when people come here just to take care of their body health, we need to let them know there's something more important. The health of your soul, the health of your spirit, the health of your inner being. So really, this time is a time of opportunity that we can reach out to gospel friends. Let's really pray for this time, and also we can participate.
Amen.
So on the table, on the big table by the Grace Wall, in the Grace Hall, in where we are going to eat, there are two sheets on signing sheet with different times, time slots. This is important if we can sign up, you know, just according to our availability. As long as you can sign up, any time will be good. There are different needs. Coordinate, usher, parking, on the booth, preaching gospel, passing out tracts, meeting people, even bring guitar to sing songs. These are all very good opportunity for us to really be the testimony, be the wall right here in the meeting hall. This is really a great opportunity for us. So please go to the dining hall, the Grace Wall table, just to sign up.
Amen.
Sorry, I forgot to give everybody the last. We don't have time to sing the hymn, okay? But I wanted to bring back this hymn number. Hymn number 930. 中文 668首. The coming week, enjoy the hymn.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.